Let's quickly get into our teaching today, learning from Moses. We are taking the subsection of it, which I titled The Death and the Survival of Moses. And what are we talking about? We said there was a time after God called Moses into the ministry. Moses was on the way to go and execute the assignment that God created him to execute. And we read that in the book of Exodus chapter 4. Yet on the way, God stopped Moses and was going to kill him. And his life was spared when he took time out, that when Zipporah accepted and went ahead and circumcised their son. So we said that your son, all right, is not just a physical person that came out of you. It's a type of anything that you have to do in life. Anything that comes out of you, your seed, you know, will be mighty on the earth. If you birth a company, it will be mighty on the earth. So those things must be circumcised. Your marriage is your son. Your career is your son. Your ministry is your son. Every single one of them must be circumcised. Now, what is circumcision? Circumcision is putting away that which is fleshly. Circumcision is putting away that which is of the old man, of the worldly character. You understand? That's what circumcision is. So that we may be in business, we may be in the market. Somebody has a shop and is number 25 in one particular line, and you as a believer has your own number 26. Another unbeliever has the one number 27. You are selling the same things, you are dealing the same kind of things. But the reason why you are doing yours is different. The principles by which you are operating is different. During the week, one of our brothers sent an email around. And it was an article in Forbes magazine that was published, I think, this month. Forbes magazine for this month. I talked about the evangelical billionaire. One man, I think his name is something Green, who is sponsoring the gospel all over the world. This man is a billionaire. He gives out money in tens of millions of dollars. Anybody is allowed, once you're a preacher, you know, you're a church, you're something like that, you're allowed to apply. They will listen to you, check what you do, what you need the money for, and listen. They give the money out in millions. They rescued Ouroboros University with $70 million. Are you getting my point? This was in the Forbes magazine. You understand what I'm saying? Look at his principle. You see the reason why he does business. You see how he has arranged it so that his children cannot even stop what he's doing. He has arranged in such a manner that, listen, he said, the reason why I live, the reason why I have, you know, God gave me life. He has given that record. He said he doesn't disclose it, but you know the way Americans behave. They try to trace the amount of money. The one he has given that they've been able to trace over $500 million. His business is doing, but his own apparently is circumcised. Now you get what I'm saying. It's not just in the giving out of money. The principles by which your business runs, there's circumcision there also. Marriage must be circumcised. I'm not talking about it again. Go and listen to the message of last week. All right? Everything you do in life must be circumcised. It's not just so that you be a good Christian. It's so that you can preserve your life. Because listen, Moses was going to die. Let me say this to you. Many people have been called and they have died without fulfilling the assignment that God called them to fulfill because certain things in their lives are not circumcised. You know, I was studying today and we'll read a bit about it. I don't know whether we'll get there exactly. But you see, I was studying today and I discovered that Elisha was the son of a very rich man. Elisha, who God appointed by name. He told Elijah, go and collect that young man and anoint him to replace you. All the commentaries I read about it say he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen. He said that was a sign of the amount of wealth in their family. Yet the man of God went there and called him. And he abandoned everything. In fact, this is where I read it. A sign that he abandoned everything. He killed the one he was plowing with and used the yoke, you know, all the plow, all the wooden equipment, used it to cook the meal. That is, I've killed the animal, I've killed the things they used to walk. That is, his life, his career was totally circumcised. Many people are still holding on to things that God said, let go of this thing. And it's the reason why they are not moving forward in life. And like I said at the beginning, as I was praying and prophesying concerning the blessing that will come forth this evening, I said something. Many of us, we are in a particular position. We don't know that it's what we are holding on to that's killing us. So last time we said on Tuesday, we must pray this prayer. That which I see not, teach thou me. Are you getting my point? Everything in your life must be circumcised. Your thought pattern, everything that comes out of your bowels must be circumcised. And like I said, as we were closing last time, it's a deliberate thing. You understand my point? It's a deliberate thing. In fact, by the time, you know, circumcision, physical circumcision, which is practiced a lot, not only Jews are used to practice it, all right? People far away from Judaism were practicing it. But you know the way God taught the Israelites and people were practicing it, it was a physical thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? But really, it's actually beyond that physical thing. That's what I'm trying to explain. So that even when you talk about the circumcision of your children, we're not saying that you must take your child, your son, or down to the doctor on the eighth day of life. That's not really circumcision, you know what I'm trying to say, because they don't pray over him. They just cut something off and throw everything away. That's not circumcision. The real circumcision of your children is what we Christians do these days in what we call dedication. That this child was not born to make me feel proud. It was not born to make me say, yeah, me too, I don't born my own. Not be like that. This is an extension of what God is doing through my life. Are you getting my point? This is an extension. That this consciousness, you must deliberately imbibe it so that those children will be said to have been circumcised. Their existence in your life is that of circumcision. Many people, their children is the reason why they can't do the will of God again. They have to send their children to very expensive schools. They don't have money for any other thing. The money that God gave them to help many people sponsor the gospel, they are using to pay exorbitant school fees, sending children to school abroad, things they can hardly afford. They say, these children is the reason why I'm leaving. Don't let God kill them, please. Circumcise those boys. Circumcise those girls. Don't let God kill them. How can the children that God gave you to be a blessing to you be the reason why you can't do his work again? You've never helped any other person's child. You are paying millions for one child to go to school. When there are schools around that will give you such a quality of education that can rank with anyone in the world for a fraction of that, use the money to help somebody else. Listen, Christianity is not the church I go to. It's how I live my life every day. And that is what is called what? That is what is called what? Circumcision. Every part of your life must be circumcised. You don't build a pedestal and put your children there and start worshiping them. Everything you do is because of the children. It's around nonsense. You can't live all your life because of children. In that case, don't have them so that at least you can live freely and serve the purpose of God. You prepare them for battle also. Yes. They are weapons of war. So you train them properly. You discipline them as is right because they are supposed to carry the glory of God in their lives also. Let me tell you something as a Christian. It's utter foolishness. Right now, you're already saving money to educate a child in 20 years' time or 15 years' time. Better circumcise your whole life. Are you getting my point? You and your wife, gather that child or those children and pray for them. That's all they need. All the money you are saving up is not going to guarantee them anything. What they need is what? Your prayer, your blessing. Look, God forbid, I'm not going to die today, man. But if I were to disappear today, my children will be blessed because I've blessed them. Are you getting my point? Because I have what? I have blessed them. I pour my blessing upon them every day. They come in, daddy, good morning, and say, it is well with you. Your future will be great. He said his seed will be mighty on the earth. All of them are mighty children. What am I saying? Everything that comes out of you must be what? Circumcised. Don't forget it. When Moses did not circumcise his son, he almost died. He almost died. I'm not preaching that again. We discussed that last time. So we're talking about the survival and the death of Moses. I want to pick up from where we stopped last time after that matter of circumcision. And look at the other things. I don't know exactly how to title this. We'll read a number of scriptures just to kick it off. And as I'm reading them, I think I'll discover the things I really want to bring out. Now, we're going to read. You know, this is interesting, but there's one thing I'm going to read before we now read the ones that have to do with Moses. Let me start with, all right, 1 Kings chapter 19. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 8. And because the thing I really want is kind of further down, I will jump here and there as I'm reading. Now Ahab told Jezebel, of course you know the story preceding this, all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. That is, I'm going to kill you also. That's what she was saying. And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is better now, O Lord, take my life, He said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my father's. And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, now please listen to this, verse 5 is where my emphasis begins. And he lay down under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, arise, eat. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. I was reading one translation. It said, lest the journey be too much for you. That is, eat, get prepared because the journey is great. The Bible says, so he arose and ate, verse 8, and drank. And I noticed this. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, I'm not going to read much about what happened after now, all right? But what I want to bring out is the fact that when Elijah was worn out, now listen to this, he had fought Ahab and the prophets of Baal. And you know the story of how he challenged them. They prayed and prayed and nothing happened. He prayed and God sent fire down upon his sacrifice that was already wet with water. You understand? And the water consumed everything. Now listen to this. This was depleting spiritual energy. You must understand this. You know, I was reading many commentaries and people were talking about why will Elijah run? Are you getting my point? He has seen all of these things happen. He has seen God keep him away from Ahab for over 3 years. He saw rain fall at his command. He saw rain cease, first of all, at his command. He saw fire fall from heaven, all right, when only him challenged hundreds of prophets of Baal. And he saw what rain fall because he prayed for rain. Now, a woman who was not there, the wife of the king, just threatened him, which somebody said, and I believe it, the threat was to get rid of him because she couldn't do anything. The way things were at that time, she could not kill the man. Are you getting my point? But the Bible said the man was afraid and he disappeared. So many people say, how did he run? Why? There were many reasons I read about, but this is the point I want to bring out. He ran because he was depleted, all right, spiritually. He ran because he was tired. He ran because all these encounters had drained something out of him. I told you something before, that when they said that the woman with issue of blood touched Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ stopped and said, somebody touched me. And they said, many people are touching you. He said, no. I know what I'm saying. Somebody drained something out of me. That is, somebody made a demand of my power. This is the point I'm making. This is what I believe. When I thought about it, I don't think it was just a matter of spiritual, you know, discernment that, somebody's getting here right now. Somebody's getting here right now. Who is the person? That is possible. Word of knowledge is possible, all right? But I think what happened was that when that woman, because the Bible says, great is thy faith. That's what Jesus said about her. When she took great faith and touched Jesus Christ, he wanted to take a step and he knew that energy had gone out. I don't know what I want to explain. He wanted to move, and he knew that something, suddenly, you know, I don't know how to explain it. He just felt empty. Something great had been drained from here. So he stopped. Where did it go? I don't know what I get on explain. Where did it go? Somebody touched me. He did not say somebody got healed. He said somebody touched me. He did not say somebody just, you know, he wasn't describing what happened. He just said somebody drained me. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm explaining. It was, listen, where is the person? She now told what happened. And I said, oh, thy faith has made me the whole. Listen to me. He was not even perceiving it was a matter of healing. It was somebody touched me. Somebody pulled something out of here. I kept something here. Somebody just took it. I don't know whether you get my point. Many people were touching and touching and touching. And listen, they were not draining anything. But one person with great faith touched him, drained him, and he felt something drained from him. Life consumes energy. I don't know whether you get my point. There are not many things you can do in life and be effective in doing them. Because everything in life consumes energy. That's what I'm talking about, the death of Moses. We'll get there in a moment. Please bear this in mind. Elijah ran because he had been drained. He fought those prophets of Baal. It was taking something from him. He prayed that prayer that brought something from heaven, rain. It was taking something from him. When he was tired, the woman now said, I'm going to kill you. Oh boy, was so tired, he found it easier to disappear. You think you just stay like that? Staying like that costs energy. I was reading somewhere that why did he run? That he was not just running. Now, I'm adding my own word interpretation to it, but this was the fact that I was given. That he didn't just run because he was running away from Jezebel. Because if that was the case, when he got down to... where did he first run to? When he got to Beersheba, that would have been okay because Jezebel did not have control in Judah. But he still kept on moving. He abandoned his servant and then went ahead into the wilderness. Why did he leave his servant? He wanted time alone with God. 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb. They said Mount Horeb was not that far. The man was wandering in the wilderness, looking for time alone with God. Now, listen to this. So, I noticed something. Now, I'm not being dogmatic about this. It's just a way to explain and interpret this. The first time the angel came, he said, eat. And he ate. And he went to sleep. Now, please, these are my words. And the angel said, the first food was for the energy you have spent. I don't know whether I get my point. That this one won't help you in the journey. That first thing you ate was to restore the energy you had. Because this is spiritual food. You understand that? It's spiritual food. This was to restore the energy you had spent. So the man went back to sleep. Then the angel came back, woke him up, said, now eat the one that will take you for the journey to come. I don't know whether you know what I'm saying. You see the applications we are going on. What have I read from here? Life consumes energy. That's the summary. Things are consuming energy. Many people just, after reading and doing everything, you graduated from school, you don't listen. The first thing you need is not the next job or the master's program to commence. You need time to rest. Take a Bible, go to a corner, collect word and feed, restore the energy that has just been drained getting the BS. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. After that, you take a rest and start eating again for the journey that is ahead. You see the reason in a moment. Because if you do not have, once you start the journey, if you do not have enough energy, you will wear out at a particular point. And if you are not careful, next thing you know, you are following the wives of Solomon to go and sacrifice to idols. What people don't understand is that this is, you know, his life is spiritually controlled. Remember the story of Samson we keep on telling? Samson, why? Why did you tell Jezebel the thing? Why? We should not have told Jezebel. Is it Jezebel? You know all these bad women, they all look alike. Oh, whether it's Jezebel or Delilah. Why did you tell Delilah? The point was that the Bible said Delilah was wearing him out. Be careful where you go to. They will soon wear you out if you are not careful. This is an illustration, all right? I remember the story at Cole. A man was sitting in his office. And he called Elko one day after some time. He said, there's a problem. What is the problem? He said, I'm having thoughts of adultery. He doesn't know. He's a good man, a good Christian man. And Elko quickly deciphered for him what is going on. Let's make a long story short. He looked around the office. He said, somebody's sending you vibes. And quickly, he identified who it was. He said, what do I do? He said, you have a choice of two. Either fire her or you leave the office. Don't leave this thing like that. Choose one. That there's no third option in this case. Now, why am I telling that story now? I just want to, you know, as you learn in life, you keep on adding things together. What it was saying is, listen, don't let this woman wear you out. Why do you want to spend your energy fighting this kind of battle? Just move her away from there and let's use energy on something else. He was a boss. He could do it. So the man reasoned and said, listen, I'm tired of the job. Anyway, he resigned and went to another job. Don't keep too much bad company. Are you getting my point? They corrupt good manners. It costs too much energy to keep standing in their presence. After a while, walk away. Walk away. They are wearing you out. Because life consumes energy. You see where I'm going all of this talk? The Israelites wore Moses out. Let's read that. Numbers chapter 20. I want to read quite a long length of verses. Let's start from verse 1. I'll take a break at a particular point in time. Then I go to verse 22. I'll stop in verse 13, then I go to 22. It said, now the sons of Israel, the whole congregation of them, came to the mountain of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. Now Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves against Moses and Aaron. The people thus contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. There was a time God broke out on them. He said, why then have you brought the Lord's assembly into this wilderness for us and our beasts to die here? Now, this is why I'm wearing him out. And why have you made us come up from Egypt to bring us into this wretched place? It is not a place of grain, of figs, of vines, of pomegranates, nor is there water to drink. This was whining and complaining. Please, just by the way, be careful you don't wear people that are supporting you, helping you in life, all right, with whining and complaining. That's why the Bible says, listen, a woman must never nag. That it is better. He said the nagging of a woman is like the constant dripping of water from a leaking roof. It wears the man out. That if the man, and this is what happens with men, eventually they find a reason to always stay in the office. They find a reason to take every trip they have offered. Somebody always traveling up and down. He doesn't want to stay there. Somebody's wearing him out with too much whining and complaining. And you know the reason? The thing is draining spiritual energy. The man can succeed. He can do well. You are wearing him out. Listen, the people of Lot wanted to wear Abraham out. He separated from them. The lesson, don't wear people out. Are you getting my point? And make sure you take preventive measures, all right, to prevent yourself from being worn out. Some people tell me that I'm not going to pastor a church. I say, listen, there's something I'm trying to do. You say, what I'm trying to do? This is simple. I want to be able to discharge and load people with the good word of God. People say, if you pastor on Sundays, more people will come. Don't let them come. I'm interested in those who are already buying the CDs, who are logging onto the website. I don't want people those who are looking for things that are convenient. What they will do is wear me out. I have to be doing naming, burial, wedding. You get my point? Settling choirs quarrel. Organizing men's fellowship, women's fellowship. Then my wife suddenly is the mama of the church. When we get back home, both of us are worn out. I'm not saying it is bad if that's your own calling. The point is that when I finish with that, I cannot decode the, you know what I'm saying? I can't release, thank you, somebody said the cocoa thing. I can't bring it out. Listen, what I'm teaching today is very, very important, though. Look, one of the things Satan tries to do is to wear people out. That's what he tries to do. What the Antichrist is coming to do is to wear out the saints. He can't defeat them. He can't beat them. But keep them busy chasing after money. Keep them busy fighting police. Keep them busy trying to have fellowship. Keep them busy fighting. They get worn out. You are targeted from every corner until you wear them out. Until you are one of Satan, can't do you anything. One see the story. I told you then, David, when David was having his issue, all right, with Absalom, Ahithophel, who understood life, who understood the deep things of life, he said to David, Absalom, let's pursue your father tonight. Why? We can only get him in his extreme weariness. Right now, he'll be tired. If we let this man sleep and take a rest, we have lost. The other man who came on David's command to come and scatter their counsel. He said, no, you know, father is a man of war. If we catch him now, things go spoil. Ahithophel so understood the right thing to do. When he didn't take his counsel, he went home and committed suicide. He said, you can only get this man when he's tired. This is the most tired he's going to be. Christians don't fall into sin except they are worn out. You see a good man, a good minister, the church people will wear him out with all kinds of things. Wakes up in the morning, Papa, good morning. Tell them, stop calling me in the morning. I'm not the police, I'm not fire service. At night, you leave your phone on.
So that if the church people have a problem, they can call you. When did you become the police? When did you become fire service? Call those ones for at night. At night, if you call me, the blessing you are looking for, I will turn it inside out. Why shouldn't the man of God sleep? Tomorrow now, when you catch him in adultery, you say, hey, I can't believe you caused it. All of you are the sinners. You won't let the man sleep. He will minister, and he, of course, most men of God too don't have sense. I'm sorry, that's it. I'm saying this so you're very angry. You see, as we go on, we're going to read that scripture next. If you're a man of God, be careful. It's not everything that, look, if they say choir, quarrel, disband them. Don't even start with their quarrel. Just come to church, praise God. From today, there's no more choir in this church. All of us are going to sing together. Better go back home, choir boy, and go and settle your quarrel. Bring it to me again, I disband you again. If they say that intercessory people, they are seeing visions that you don't understand, ban them. So don't worry, I don't need your intercession. Thank you very much. This is your own that's giving me a headache. Ban everybody. I know what I'm telling you. See, I just want to give myself the ministry of the word and prayer. All the settling of quarrels, I don't want it. Any quarrel that the deacons can't handle, disband the group. The Lord is good. What is the point? Listen, when you are worn out, listen, Delilah wore out Samson. There are two sides to it. The Bible says, if you faint the day of adversity, your strength is small. It is important you build good strength. But no matter how strong your strength is, you must be careful that people don't wear you out needlessly. These people, they were wearing Moses out. Now, this is where we're wearing this guy. So then Moses and Aaron came in from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, assemble the congregation and speak. Everybody says, speak. And speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, that is by speaking. And let the congregation and their beasts drink. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, I'm adding words, just as he has commanded. He said to them, listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? Not as he has commanded. Are you seeing that? They didn't say start quarreling. Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. You know why he struck it twice? I'll tell you. The first time he struck it, nothing happened. Look, this rock, you won't try me. Then he hit the rock a second time. He said, let's, this quarrel continues. The rock brought forth water. The Bible says, water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. Simple as it was, listen to this. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. The Bible says, those were the waters of Meribah. That's the second one. There are two. Because the sons of Israel contended with the Lord, and he proved himself holy among them. Now, I want you to understand something here. Let's quickly, before I say what I want to say, let's just continue reading. Go to verse 22. The Bible says, now when they set out from Kadesh, the sons of Israel, the whole of the congregation, came to Mount Hor. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron at Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the sons of Israel. Because you, either both of them or Moses specifically, rebelled against me, my command, at the waters of Meribah. Take Aaron and his son Eleazar and bring them up to Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments. Oh God, this is so deep. And strip Aaron of his garments and put them on his son Eleazar. So Aaron will be gathered to his people and will die there. Now listen to this. So Moses did just as the Lord had commanded. And they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And after Moses had stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on his son Eleazar, Aaron died. The Bible says he died there on the mountaintop. Then Moses and Eleazar came down to the mountain. And all the congregation saw that Aaron had died, all the house of Israel wept. And when all the congregation saw, they wept for Israel, for Aaron, 30 days. There's a reason why I read this. I'll discuss it in a moment. But let me just drop something. You notice as soon as his purpose in his life was removed, he expired. Listen, you must face life with a purpose. Before you enter it, the matter of circumcision. Once you enter it, don't let life remove your purpose from you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Once they strip you of your garment, which represents your purpose, you're dead meat. Let's continue teaching. Why did we read this? We'll read some more in a moment, but let me say what I'm saying here. Number one, the Bible says, we won't read all of that because of time, that Moses was the meekest of all men on the surface of the earth. And the Bible said that after Aaron and Miriam decided to gang up against the apostle Moses, you know what I'm saying, the prophet. Now, I want to paint a picture for you here. Since God called him to ministry, since he's been walking with God, did Moses ever disobey God? No, answer me, please. Before this point, did God ever say 1, 2, 3 and Moses add 4? No, answer now. Was there a time you heard God was angry with Moses because of the kind of thing Moses has been doing lately? Let's go back small. No, let's go forward to another time. David took Bathsheba and killed her husband. Oh boy. Was that disobedience to God's commandment? Answer me, true or false? Yes, it was. Now, he disobeyed God's commandment and killed somebody in the process and committed adultery. So, all kinds of things mixed together. Let's talk about it on the surface. Let's be honest. Let's go, you know. Which one is worse as iniquity? I will answer it for you. Is it one David did? Looking at it on the surface, that's what it is. When a man repented, and what did God do? He forgave him. Even brought Solomon for him out of that funny relationship. But in the case of Moses, at the point that Moses said that, I asked God about this matter, God warned him not to talk about it again. If you go further than Deuteronomy, I think around chapter 4, Moses said, listen, you guys, you have caused me a lot of headache. God said, I will not enter. I begged him, and not only did he say no, he said, I must not bring up the matter again. We're not going to read it now. But that's the point. I'm not very sure of where he said it now, but I think around Deuteronomy chapter 4. Anyway, let's not waste time trying to find it, all right? But I'm just bringing an issue, okay? Because it's right there. When Moses asked God about the matter, God said no. Let me make it short and quick. The summary of that, he did what appeared to you and me as a small thing, and God was not willing to overlook it. What is the reason? That's what I'm going to. Because the truth is that God was not really angry with Moses. When you hear things like, and the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. Look, all those things, it's just to explain to you how a human being is feeling under such circumstance. All right? Listen, the truth is that God was not angry like that with Moses. And that's why he was not willing to forgive. It was a strategic decision taken to pull Moses out from the battle. Moses was worn out. And the first manifestation of wear out, you understand my point, is disobedience. This is a man who does not disobey. This was the meekest of all men on the surface of the earth. This was the greatest of prophets before John the Baptist. This was a prophet that God said, what is wrong with you? You are not even afraid to challenge somebody who does not dream and therefore sees God in visions. When I want to talk, I talk to him the way you talk with your friend. He hears me. He knows when I'm coming. He hears my footsteps. This is the kind of man we are dealing with. In the eyes of God, the smallest disobedience on his part is not small. We must understand that point. And that was why God was not willing to overlook it. He said, okay, maybe he had finished his work. I can prove to you that he hadn't finished his work. Go and read Psalm 91. When the Bible was talking about the righteous man and the man who loves the Lord, he said, with long life, I will do what? Satisfy. Satisfaction is very crucial when it comes to deciding whether somebody has really fully lived out his life or not. Moses was not satisfied. That was why he was begging. Let me just enter the land. Please now. I'm begging you. Because if you say that again, wala go deal. And now when I told the people of Israel, say, see, look how people have cost me. That is, he was not satisfied. Now listen to me. I'm not saying that he had a dissatisfied life. I'm trying to say that if things had gone properly, he would not have left at that particular point in time. The way God killed him and Aaron was very interesting. Aaron, they removed his jacket. They look back. The man collapsed and died. In the case of Moses, he took a stroke and nobody ever saw him again. God told him, lie down here. And he lay down. And the Lord said to him, die. And that was it. His soul, his spirit came out of his body. And a physical body was lying down there. And some angels escorted him in one direction. And the Lord dug up a bit of earth, put the body inside, and covered it. And Israel looked for the spot, and they never found it. Now, why did God do that? He said, listen, because you did not sanctify, you did not believe me. Listen, forget that surface. Let's look beneath the surface. The truth was that this man was worn out. These people had, you know, they had ground him so bad. His soul, his spirit was touched. He no longer had the strength to withstand their harassment. Now that's what we need to understand. But what is the lesson for you? And what is the lesson for me? And that's what it's all about. Remember, let's now go back to Elijah. Elijah, they said, eat, for the journey is what? Is long. Eat, so that you are not overcome by the length of the journey. Eat because your career in life is intense. Eat because the ministry that God wants you to perform is huge. Eat. Have enough strength before life starts trying to grind you. And be careful that you don't expose yourself to too many things that are grinding you. Listen, men, literally, human beings literally give up their lives for other people. In case you did not know it, you say God does not, listen, you must understand something. There was a time these people disobeyed God, and God said to Moses, let me destroy them. Are you getting my point? Let me destroy them. And Moses said, no. And God said, don't worry, they will destroy you. All the people that Moses said God should, that Moses refused God to destroy, what happened? They perished in the wilderness. But this time around, they took Moses with them. I'm not saying Moses should have said, kill them if you want. I'm not saying so. But they can be sure that was the point in which he gave his life for those people. What do I mean? He had to carry them. He complained many times. God, why did I give birth to these people? I can invite the Lord say, yes, you did. There was a time I wanted to remove them. You refused. They are now your own. At that point, God gave him 70 elders to go and help him. And that's one thing. In life, you need help. What did I say? In life, you need what? Help. Let's read another scripture. Like I said, I'll just be saying many things. And I pray we pick our lessons. The book of Exodus chapter 18. Now, because we are trying to save time, I will not read everything, but I'll jump here and there. But if you find out from the book of, if you follow from the book, from the first verse of chapter 18 of the book of Exodus, Jethro, the priest of Midian, heard all that God had done for Moses. And verse 2, the Bible says that he took Moses' wife Zipporah after he had sent her away, and her two sons, I'm trying to summarize everything. Verse 5, the Bible said, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was camped at the Mount of God. And he said to Moses, I, your father-in-law, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Now, please, I want you to understand something. I want to try and quickly get to where I'm going so as to save time. Verse 13. The Bible says, and it came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood about Moses from the morning until the evening. Now, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone? Everybody say alone. Alone. Say it again.
Alone.
That's the word. Why do you sit alone? Why do you alone sit as judge and all the people stand around you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people came to me to inquire, or they come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, and make known the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you are doing is not good.